From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this update. 13 years after it was first conceived, the first Alaska-class ferry completed its maiden voyage up the Lynn Canal. The concept and design has changed with different governors, making it an odd duck in the fleet. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick rode the Taslina to check out the end result.
It's early morning in Juneau, and the 280-foot Taslina is loading vehicles in the stern door. Drivers are making a three-point turn inside the ferry, so they're pointed towards the rear of the ship. Third mate Joe Kresny is directing the show.
I find it's generally better if they're facing the right way, because they're more impatient offloading than they are loading.
The Taslina was designed as a roll-on, roll-off ferry. But because the docks at Haines and Skagway were never upgraded, cars and trucks will have to exit from the side. So it's like a game of Tetris inside, making sure all the cards fit just right. Just like that classic video game, you have to leave room to maneuver. It isn't always easy, but Kresny remains optimistic through it all.
So far, so good. It's nice that we have light loads for our first day to kind of get everything figured out and dialed in.
Lawmakers earmarked $120 million to build the Taslina and its sister ship Hubbard nearly a decade ago. There were no federal matching funds because instead of going out to bid, the contract went right to Vigor Alaska's Ketchikan shipyard. The rationale for the extra cost to the state? Job creation. A Made in Alaska logo is emblazoned on its side. That appeals to passenger Joe Jacobson of Haines.
It's cool that it's made in Ketchikan. I think that is awesome for economic incentive for Alaska. You know, that's a lot of good jobs for people. And it seems solid. It seems like after they get a few things tuned up, it'll work great.
He made the trip from Juneau with his six-year-old daughter, Yorona.
I mean, whenever we can take the ferry, we take the ferry. But sometimes the schedule doesn't work out.
Schedules have become sporadic in recent years due to cuts to the ferry system. Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed budget would end service altogether. Now, the House and Senate are negotiating a compromise budget that will reduce service further. But up on the bridge, these troubles seem far away. There's a fantastic view of nothing but snowy peaks and green forest land. Tony Carvelis is operations manager for the fleet. For him, this day has been a long time coming.
We're very proud of all the work that went into it and all the effort, and it's nice to finally be underway on the maiden voyage. Very nice ship, and we look forward to a bright future operating it up here in Lynn Canal.
Carvelis has spent about a decade working with the Marine Highway. He's seen this vessel's design transform from a day boat to long-haul ferry and back again. Day boats have smaller crews and are cheaper to run. When Governor Sean Parnell originally conceived day boats on Lynn Canal, they would go hand-in-hand with the Juneau Access Road extension to make multiple daily trips possible. That project was canceled by Governor Bill Walker. In effect, the Taslina was built for a route that only ever existed on paper. It's an austere vessel. The artwork hasn't arrived yet. There's no galley kitchen. Ship steward Tyler Green is a trained chef. But without so much as a toaster or kitchen sink, his talents are limited to the microwave.
This is more like a gas station pit stop, really. I mean, technically we're a highway, so you can kind of see it as a snack bar and a gas station that you'd see on a highway.
That left Skagway-bound passenger Douglas Hoffman underwhelmed.
They should improve the variety of their snacks, but I'm spoiled. I live in Seattle where, you know, like you get 12 different varieties of gluten-free, free-range, all-volunteer toilet paper.
Nevertheless, Lynn Canal communities are excited to have a brand new ferry show up. In Haines, a women's choir greeted the ship. Borough Mayor Jan Hill was among them.
We like to celebrate good things and we love the ferry system. So our women's choir group decided we were going to greet the ferry this morning.
There wasn't as much fanfare in Skagway. Two mammoth cruise ships were already in port, enough to keep most townspeople busy. Former newspaperman Jeff Brady says folks in Skagway are glad the Taslina is in service, but they're anxious over further cuts.
You know, if we have it at least on the service level that we have now, you know, we can survive on that. But if we have cuts further than what we have now, it's going to be really tough around here.
Cars and trucks from Skagway drive on board. Each one makes the three-point turn to get into position. Carvelis says the crew is getting into the rhythm now.
Seems like for the first time, it's working pretty well.
The ship doubles back to Haines. About an hour and a half later, it ties up and disgorges its last vehicles and passengers. The crew has reached its 12-hour limit since beginning its run from Juneau. But with no crew quarters, there's no space to sleep on the ship. The Department of Transportation is paying about $4,800 a week for a block of rooms in Aspen Suites Hotel in Haines.
She'll need a credit card for incidentals.
Checkout's 11 a.m., 4 hours after they're scheduled to sail back to Juneau. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jacob Resnick.
And in other news, the Alaska Senate has passed what a key lawmaker calls a skinny capital budget that largely leverages federal dollars for infrastructure and water projects. The total package, which includes some supplemental spending items for the current budget year, totals about $1.4 billion. The vast majority of that is federal money. The measure includes about $70 million for deferred maintenance, $3 million for current year costs due to nursing shortages within the Department of Corrections, and $2.5 million for a South Denali Visitor Center. It also allows the Alaska Gasline Development Authority to accept up to $25 million in third-party funds for ongoing work on a federal review of that project. The bill passed unanimously and next goes to the House. And the United States is losing control over the Arctic to Russia and China because it failed to build the ships, ports, and other infrastructure it needed to be there. That was the message experts delivered at the transportation hearing today in the U.S. House. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin has more.
Retired Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen says the country needs to wake up to the strategic importance of the Arctic Ocean and commit more resources to it.
You don't have sovereignty unless you can exert it.
The theme seems to be gaining some national traction. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said this week the U.S. will conduct more Arctic exercises and expand the Coast Guard to counter Russia and China. But the House hearing revealed some of the difficulties the country has in executing a long-range strategic vision. The United States is finally building a new Coast Guard icebreaker. Still, there's no port in the U.S. Arctic where it can dock. The discussion at the hearing focused on a possible port expansion at Nome. The Army Corps of Engineers has been studying that idea for years and expects to publish a feasibility report soon. For those who want to see the country make big Arctic strides, the proposal may not live up to expectations. The head of the Corps in Alaska, Colonel Philip Borders, told the committee the Corps is considering dredging the 22-foot Nome port, but only to a depth to better serve the ships that go there now.
It's the assessment of the vessels that use that facility normally, and that's where we come up with between the 30 and the 40.
Right, but we've got a dynamic situation, don't we, Colonel? You'd agree?
Representative Sean Maloney, a New York Democrat, pressed the colonel, suggesting the port needs to be at least 45 feet. The depth needed for big Coast Guard and Navy ships.
The whole point of what we're talking about today is the emerging reexamination of the Arctic, of developing a strategic plan, of keeping up with the great power competition. It's not going to be enough to just service the vessels who are using it now. Isn't that fair to say?
Borders said his authority is limited. The money Congress gave for the study was from a civilian account, not military construction.
I understand the 45-foot depth, but that's for another organization if they want to have that capability there.
If he meant a branch of the military would step in to pay for the project, that's unlikely. Retired Admiral Allen says no agency can afford to dedicate a chunk of its budget to improving the port at Nome. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And the University of Alaska is reorganizing and downsizing its human resources department. The Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports the university on Monday issued layoff notices to 48 human resource employees as part of the overhaul. The layoffs will take effect in September. Laid-off employees can apply for jobs in the reorganized department. UA President Jim Johnson says the changes are a redesign based on best practices in higher education. And Ketchikan's mayor and city manager accepted a free cruise to Los Angeles, which they said allowed them to continue talks with those in the private sector as the city looks to expand berths for cruise ships. It's the same trip the mayor and city manager from Juneau was to attend until the assembly said no. And it's 52 degrees in the capital city. Rain is expected tonight. You're listening to KTOO.